John 14. Speaking of Bibles, you see this one? You know, several weeks ago, I held this up, and this is the one that I just literally took the inside right up out of the cover because it was so worn out and the binding was broken loose on it. Well, guess what? I found somebody knows how to fix them. So my favorite preaching Bible's back. Begin with verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been with you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." I want you to remember that line, that verse. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Heavenly Father, I just ask you to bless this reading and the preaching of your word today and use it for your purpose and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone who has seen the Father, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. Well, today's sermon is entitled "Seeing My Father in Me." And to start this sermon, I've asked Steve to play a music video for us this morning, and I want to use it as the introduction of this sermon and also as kind of our tribute to fathers today. So let's watch it together.
Last night we brought the children by to visit their grandpa, and it's plain to see they're truly part of him. While we were there, their grandma took out some old photographs,
That's kind of been my life story, seeing my father in me. I can't hardly get away from it. My dad's name was Gerald. His nickname was Little Jerry, or Jerry. And for as long as I can remember, I've been told I look just like my dad. People even called me Little Jerry for a while. Steve, go ahead and put the pictures up there and maybe people can see what I'm talking about. The one on the left is a picture of my dad standing outside Kansas City International Airport. He was 23 years old in that picture, getting ready to go to Marine Corps boot camp in California. The one on the right is me at 18, dressed up in my Class A uniform at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and that's my official boot camp basic training picture. So all those years growing up, people always told me I looked just like my dad. I was a spitting image of my father. As I got older, it just kind of became more prominent. You know, people would see me driving my dad's truck. My dad owned a construction and excavation business, and I worked in that business with him for several years. And the older I got, they would see my dad's truck, and they would recognize it, and they would see me driving. I had people waving at me, and they'd flag me down and stop me to talk to me because they thought that I was my dad until they got close enough to see that I wasn't. As I continue to get older, it's even more and more noticeable. A few weeks ago, one of my cousins, whom I've not seen in close to 30 years, was in the area. She drives for Amish community back in Missouri where I grew up, and they were out in this area. So she let me know she was going to be here, and we got together to have lunch. And we walked in the restaurant, met up, and we hadn't been there 5 minutes. And she looked at me, and she said, "You look so much like your dad." I said, "Yeah, I know. Not much I can do about it." Just a couple of weeks ago, on one of those really warm days we had, I'd been working out in the yard, in the garden. And I came in, went in the restroom in the bathroom downstairs at the parsonage, and I ran some cold water and I just ran the water over my hands and washed my hands and stuff. And then this is even kind of one of those things my dad always did. I can remember so many times when he was hot and sweaty. He would take just a paper towel or something, and he would run his hand under the water, and then he'd take his hands and he'd just kind of wipe his face and he'd rub them back over his hair like this. I stood in the mirror and watched myself do that, and I thought, oh, my goodness. The natural coloring in my hair now, you know, I don't pay for that. That's there. The complexion of my skin, I can go. Blenda just, she just gets so frustrated with me sometimes. I can go out and work in the yard or whatever for just a few hours, and I come in, and the dark complexion, the sun. I'm told that somewhere along the way on my grandmother's side, my grandmother Warren's side, there's some Cherokee Indian blood in us, and so I have this darker complexion anyway. But my dad, when he'd go out and work in the sun, he came inside and he looked like a piece of shoe leather. And I get almost that same way if I'm not careful. The hair, the receding hairline, even the wrinkle pattern in my forehead and in my face, look just like my dad. So I can relate very well to this, seeing my father in me. Now listen, there are some things about my father that I don't want to emulate. There are a lot of things that my dad did that weren't healthy for him. He was a heavy smoker. He was a heavy drinker. He used words sometimes that would make a sailor blush. But there's a lot my dad taught me. He taught me how to work. And in his own way, he taught me the importance of loving my family. My dad wasn't a real affectionate kind of guy. But there was never, even though there were a lot of things he did that I didn't agree with, there was never one day that I doubted whether my dad loved me or not. And I was looking in the mirror that day, and I'm just telling you this, mirrors are funny things. They, of course, show us a reflection of what we look like, but they also help us recognize any resemblance that we might have to someone else. And I came out of the bathroom that day, and I looked at Blenda, and I said, "Honey, I look more and more like my dad all the time." She said, "Yes, you do." So it reminds me then of the words from our scripture that we just read this morning, where Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen my Father." It also reminds me of Jesus' own words in John chapter 10, verse 30, where he says, "The Father and I are one." And it reminds me of the Apostle Paul's words about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, when he said, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." I love that. That's the New Living Translation. And I love the way they word that. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. What are they telling us there? What that scripture is telling us, Paul's trying to get across to us, that the very reason Jesus came to this earth was to show us exactly who the Father is and what the Father's like. When those people that were walking with Jesus, that had the privilege of being there with him when he walked the earth, those who listened to his teaching, those who lived with him day in and day out, the 12 apostles and his disciples, he was the living manifestation of what the Heavenly Father is like. He is the visible image of the invisible God. That would mean that Jesus is the reflection of the Heavenly Father. So I want us to look at some ways this morning that Jesus shows us who the Father is and what he's like. And the first thing I want us to understand this morning is that Jesus didn't do anything apart from the Father. Jesus did nothing apart from the Father. And the scripture for that is found in John chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. And that's where we find this. The Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. Now, what had he done? If you look earlier in John chapter 5, this is the instance where Jesus has just healed the man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years, laying beside the pool of Bethesda. And it's that conversation where Jesus comes and asks the man, "Don't you want to get well? Do you want to be healed?" And throughout that course of conversation, this is the instance where Jesus tells a man who hasn't walked, hasn't moved, he's been paralyzed and an invalid for 38 years, and Jesus looks at him and says, "Pick up your mat and walk." Well, the guy did. It was a miracle. He was healed. He could get up and walk. Problem was, it was a Sabbath day. So that's why the Jewish leaders were giving Jesus a hard time. And it goes on to say that Jesus replied, "My Father never stops working, so why should I?" The Jewish leaders tried all the more to kill him. In addition to disobeying the Sabbath rules, he now spoke of God as his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. And Jesus replied, "I assure you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus didn't do anything except what the Father told him to do or showed him to do. In John 14, later in this chapter, in verse 31 of John 14, Jesus goes on to say, "The world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father commanded me." I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Wow, what a testimony. But see, that's the reason Jesus was here. He's the visible image of the invisible God. John chapter 6, verse 38 says, "I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do what I want." And then in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus tells his disciples, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." So I want us to understand something. Jesus wasn't some rogue, rebellious son or child. He always did what was pleasing to his Father. You see, his strength, his satisfaction, his fulfillment in life came from doing everything in agreement with and for the glory of his heavenly Father. And you know what? If we're Christ followers, we should strive to do the same. Jesus not only did nothing apart from the Father, the scripture tells us he said nothing. He never spoke anything apart from the Father. John chapter 8, verses 25 through 30. That's where I'm kind of lifting this from. He says, people says, tell us who you are. Jesus replied, I am the one that I've always claimed to be. I have so much to say about you and so much to condemn, but I won't, for I only say what I have heard from the one who sent me. And he is true. They still didn't understand that he was talking to them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will realize that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak what my Father has taught me. He has not deserted me, for I always do those things that are pleasing to him. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus, what's he saying here? Jesus said, look, I only say what I've already heard from the Father. So if Jesus spoke only what he heard from the Father, and he spoke only what he's learned from the Father, then what kinds of words did Jesus speak? I want us to understand something. Any time he spoke, he was speaking in agreement with his Father. Listen, I've heard people say, well, Jesus never said anything about such and such. Whatever subject you might be talking about, Jesus never said anything about that. We don't find it in the red letters. Can I just tell you this? If the Heavenly Father has spoken about it, Jesus has spoken about it, because Jesus and the Father are one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is no, I want us to understand something. There never has been any disagreement between Jesus and the Heavenly Father in what they say. There is no inconsistency. So we just need to understand that if the God, the Father, has spoken about something, I really don't need to find the words of Jesus in the New Testament to back it up, because God and the Father have always been together and they've always been one. They're in agreement. So when Jesus spoke words of compassion, and my goodness, we know he did. We know he spoke words of compassion. When Jesus spoke words of compassion, he was speaking in agreement with the Father. When Jesus spoke words of conviction, he was speaking in agreement with the Father. When he spoke words of encouragement, he was speaking in agreement with the Father. When he spoke words of correction, whether you were one of the Pharisees, whether you were an out-and-out sinner, or whether you were one of his disciples, he always spoke words of correction. I mean, nobody was immune from that. But when he spoke words of correction, he spoke only what he heard and learned from the Father. And when he spoke words of healing, we know that he was speaking in agreement with the Father, because he said, I speak only what I have heard and learned, and I do only what my Father has commanded me to do. When he spoke words of forgiveness, aren't those incredible words? I don't condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin. When he was on that cross, when he was hanging on the cross being crucified, before he died, what did he say? He looked down at the Roman soldiers who were watching him on the cross. He looked down at the very people who had nailed him to that cross and were waiting for him to die. He looked down at them and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't have any idea what they're doing. They don't know. Words of forgiveness. These were all words that he had heard and learned from the Heavenly Father. There was no division or disagreement. In John 14:24, Jesus said, these words you hear They're not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So when the Father speaks, the Son speaks in agreement. And when the Son speaks, there is no contradiction to the Father. They speak in unity and agreement always. But here's the other thing I want us to notice. When Jesus speaks, things happen. If you look, we just read that passage from John chapter 8. Look at verse 30 of John chapter 8, and I want to remind you of what it says. It says, anyone who heard him say these things believed in him. Can I just tell you something that I think is very, very important for us, especially as Christians, to understand? Words are powerful. Words are powerful, whether they're spoken verbally or whether they're written in an email, text message, Facebook post, Instagram, any of those other things I don't understand and don't even know what they are. Words are powerful. And here it says that those who heard what Jesus said believed in him. The words of Jesus drew people to Jesus. Always? No. But his words caused many to believe in him. And you know what? I think we as Christians need to do our very best to make sure that the words that we use, whether it be the spoken word or the written word, are words that will draw people to Jesus and not drive them away from him. Here's the last thing I want us to understand this morning. Jesus never did anything apart from the Father. He never did anything apart from the Father. And he never made judgments apart from the Father. Jesus made no judgments apart from the Father. John chapter 5, once again, verses 25 through 30. I assure you, these are the words of Christ. I assure you that a time is coming. In fact, it is here. When the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself and has granted his Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge all mankind because he is the Son of Man. So listen, Jesus is saying, the Father has given me authority to judge. But let's look at what he says later. He goes on to say, don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to judgment. But I do nothing without consulting the Father. I judge as I am told. I judge as I am told. And my judgment is absolutely just because it is according to the will of God who sent me. It is not merely my own. Listen, Jesus has been given all authority to judge mankind, but he still does not exercise that authority without knowing he is in full agreement with the Heavenly Father and his will and his plan and his purpose. Can we understand why Jesus tells us in another passage of Scripture not to judge others unless we're ready to be judged with the same judgment that we push out? See, Jesus never acted independently from the Father. Jesus and the Father are one, and Jesus always honored his Heavenly Father. How? By never acting without the authority or awareness and approval of his Father. by never speaking without the authority, the awareness, and the approval of the Father. And by never passing judgment without the authority, the awareness, and the approval of His Heavenly Father. Hal Perkins, Hal and Debbie Perkins, I heard him say one time in a discipleship class that I was attending that he was teaching. He said, Jesus was the most discipled person who ever lived. And I know we think that sounds weird. Jesus, God in the flesh, having to be discipled, but we also need to remember that just it's almost impossible to comprehend. We also need to remember the fact that while Jesus was on earth, He was also fully human. But He always did what pleased His Father. So on this Father's Day, I want to ask this question. How can we honor our Heavenly Father? Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, to be imitators of God. How do we do that? How do we know what God is like? How can we imitate? How can we be imitators of God? By looking at Jesus. After all, He is the visible image of the invisible God. And if we can learn to be more like Jesus, then we will be more like God. And then when we look in that mirror, we will be able to see My Father in me. We'll be able to see the Father in us. So let's make that our goal. Let's make that our passion. Let's make it our determination. To live a life and be the person that when we look in the mirror, we can see the reflection of our Heavenly Father. God, I thank You today. Thank You once again for this group of people, this church family, this body of Christ. Thank You for Your word. I pray You would use it, cause it to go forth and not return unto You void or empty. And God, I just ask You today to help. Would You show us? Show just each and every one of us in Your own way how to be more like You. We want to be able to see our Heavenly Father in us. And we want others to be able to see the Heavenly Father evident in our lives. So Lord, I just pray that You would help us to do that this week. Be with us as we leave this place. Lord, we know that there are going to be celebrations and times of remembering, times with our fathers, and I pray today for those who can't call their dad on the phone, those who can't sit across the table from him because they're no longer with us. So we know for some these days are hard and are difficult. But Lord, may we still honor them and honor their memories and honor the impact that they've had in our lives. We love You and we thank You. We praise Your name because it's in Your name we ask all these things. Amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. We're dismissed. Have a great week and make sure that if you're a father, you stop on your way out and get your special gift.